This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, September 18th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll continue a two-part series on innovative recycling programs based in Canada. We'll also look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Governor Rod Blagojevich and the Corrections Department Director are named as defendants in a lawsuit filed by the union representing workers at the Pontiac Prison. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees alleges that the department and the governor are acting illegally in their attempts to shutter the prison, shifting inmates and workers to the facility in Thompson. AFSCME spokesman Anders Lindahl says there is a precedent when the union successfully halted Governor George Ryan's attempt to close a prison in Vienna 6 years ago.
We are confident, again, that the situation is much the same in this case and that the finding should be the same.
Lindahl says the law doesn't allow the governor to spend money saved by closing Pontiac Prison because the legislature originally appropriated the funds. A state legislative panel voted this week not to close Pontiac, citing financial data that shows such a move would actually cost the state money. Supporters who want to keep Illinois state parks open are taking their fight online. Sean Crawford has more.
When 11-year-old Rice Tuggle of Oakwood learned the nearby Kickapoo State Park in Vermilion County was going to be a victim of the governor's budget cuts, she says she had to take action. After her school suggested she write a letter to Rod Blagojevich, she decided to go a step further, starting a petition drive. She began by gathering signatures at a convenience store for 6 hours.
And I sat at Kickapoo for at least 3, and I passed it around my school. And some second graders wanted, their teacher was teaching them about it, so they all signed it.
She's collected hundreds of signatures since. She's not alone. Others across Illinois are mobilizing to raise their voices in an attempt to prevent 11 parks from closing at the end of November. They're also joining forces with the lieutenant governor, who's placed an online petition on his website. Park supporters say the locations are invaluable to local communities and raise concerns about Illinois' commitment to conservation if they're allowed to close. I'm Sean Crawford.
Presidential candidate Barack Obama is urging the Illinois Senate to act quickly on disputed ethics legislation. Obama called Senate President Emil Jones yesterday and said the measure should be passed at the earliest possible opportunity. Obama and Jones have a long relationship. The legislation would restrict campaign donations by people doing business with the state. It passed in the spring, but Governor Rod Blagojevich rejected it and called for major changes. The House has overridden that veto, but Jones says the Senate won't act until November. The delay raises constitutional questions that could kill the legislation or keep it tied up in long legal battles. A public forum in Urbana on Governor Rod Blagojevich's cuts to the state human services budget turned into a rally last night. Providers and recipients of mental health, disability, and other state-funded services filled the Brookins Center gym to voice their opposition to the cuts. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Are you angry about the way we're being treated by this budget?
A crowd of roughly 250 gave Mike McClellan of the Champaign County Mental Health Board a strong response at last night's forum. The Mental Health Board and other forum organizers worry the governor's human services cuts will hurt local services for mental health, developmental disabilities, and substance abuse treatment, services they say Illinois already neglects. The Illinois House voted to restore most of the funding, and Dale Morrissey of Champaign's Developmental Services Center says it's now time for President Emil Jones to allow a vote in the state Senate.
And we've got to get Jones to do something about it. He may be retiring, but he's got to finish his job, and that's to do the right thing for you.
State Senator Mike Frerich says a special session is unlikely, but the Champaign Democrat says senators might vote to restore human services funding during the fall veto session in November. He hopes Governor Blagojevich will postpone the cuts until that vote is taken. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
One of Illinois' statewide officials is upset with how a referendum on this false ballot is written. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn says the measure that asks voters if they want a constitutional convention is worded to keep the status quo. Quinn says a convention would allow for needed changes in how state government works, but he says the ballot question is biased.
Basically, what they're doing is they're reciting the history of this referendum in past times. 1988, the referendum was defeated. They're inserting that information into the question and explanation of the question. That isn't what you do on referendums. You don't talk about the past. You only talk about right now.
Quinn has filed an objection with the Secretary of State, who submitted the question to the State Elections Board. The Secretary of State spokesman says the language came from the Illinois House and Senate. Quinn won't rule out a lawsuit on the issue. Opponents to a constitutional convention say it would be costly and argue special interests could dominate the process. A tumultuous sentencing hearing ended yesterday with a 50-year prison term for a man charged in the double murder from 2 years ago. Kenneth Sean Chelley of Champaign was sentenced once court reconvened after a relative of the murder victims physically attacked Kelley during the hearing. The disturbance led to a brief recess. Corey Shackelford faces two charges of aggravated battery. Kelley pleaded guilty to the murder of Jeremiah Haig. The Champaign County State's Attorney's Office agreed to drop similar charges against Kelley for the murder of Jeremiah's wife, Sue Haig. The couple was found dead in their Champaign home on the 4th of July of 2006. Prosecutors say Kelley was familiar with the Haigs and arranged a robbery with his estranged girlfriend and possibly a third person. Crystal Myrick's trial is set for next month. Police are pursuing charges against Russell Pitcher, who's currently in prison in Iowa in an unrelated case. A judge has given former Illinois basketball star Jamar Smith an ultimatum: follow the terms of the latest probation or go straight to jail or prison. AM580's Tom Rogers has more.
Judge Richard Klaus could have immediately ordered jail for Smith, who had been on probation for a 2007 drunk driving crash that seriously injured a teammate. Smith was kicked off the team after he admitted to drinking when police found him outside a campus town bar last July. Instead, Smith will undergo outpatient treatment at a facility in Evansville, Indiana. He says he needs to stay sober and start his life over in a new place. But Smith also wants to pay back a debt to the Illinois coaching staff and fans who lost their trust in him.
They still give me a lot of love and support, so over time, you know, that'll heal. And, you know, when I, you know, later down the road, you know, when I give my life back in order, you know, and everything situated, I'll definitely want to come back to Champaign, you know, and just talk to some of the kids about my story.
Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says Smith's probation will include having to wear an ankle bracelet that'll constantly test him for alcohol use.
He's going to wear it for at least 180 days, and it's monitored through a phone modem. So he's got to download information from the bracelet through the phone.
Smith told the judge he has an apartment and a job in Evansville, and he hopes to enroll at the University of Southern Indiana and play basketball there next year. He has to report back to the judge in December. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
The University of Illinois is offering a new tool to find stolen laptop computers on campus. Campus Information Technologies and Educational Services, or CITES, has created software that allows U of I staff and students to register their laptops online 24/7. The program can find a stolen laptop if the thief tries the campus network to log on to the Internet. CITES spokesman Brian Mertz says once the laptop appears online, they can almost exactly spot where the laptop and the possible thief is and calls police. But Mertz says the service is not just about retrieving stolen property.
In the university setting, we worry about the loss of sensitive data. Faculty and staff that would have sensitive data on their laptops, as we've seen with the Veterans Administration, other schools across the country, that's one of the easiest ways to lose that data, is to have it walk off.
Mertz says laptop registration has already existed for the last 2 years, but the new online registration makes taking precaution much easier. He says so far the service helped to recover about 20% of the reported stolen and registered laptops on campus. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The recycling and composting rate in the U.S. runs just about 30%. That means 70% of our waste still goes to landfills. Government officials and others in charge of recycling programs say we're doing pretty well with what we have available. But there's a community that's challenging that assumption. Kina Oman reports.
Prince Edward Island's one of those places where people who grow up here stay here. And it's no wonder. The island's off Canada's eastern coast. It's covered with rolling green farmland, dark forest, and copper-red beaches. It's Canada's smallest province, about the size of Delaware. Prince Edward Island has a population of only 160,000. There seems to be enough room for everyone, but not for everything. Around 10 years ago, the residents of Prince Edward Island saw their landfills filling up. That meant digging more. They wanted to do something about it, and fast. So they started an aggressive recycling and composting program. Jerry Moore is the CEO of Island Waste Management, the company that runs the program. Moore says to make it happen quickly,
we had to make this mandatory. It wasn't something that, we could go out and ask people, well, listen, this is the right thing to do environmentally. We made it mandatory.
Moore says they had to be tough. If people didn't separate their compost and recycling from their waste, the company refused to pick it up. That was a difficult time for politicians.
And be quite honest with you, in the initial stages, it was fairly painful. But if we didn't do what we did when we did it, I mean, the landfill that we have now would be totally full and we'd have to have another one. We're recycling everything that we totally possibly can.
And they are. People and businesses on Prince Edward Island recycle and compost 65% of their waste. That's more than double the average in the U.S. A lot of the former waste now goes to the island's composting facility. The facility takes care of miscellaneous garbage that can't be recycled, things such as certain types of paper and food scraps. Gordon Smith shows me the compost curing warehouse. We're now sealed in with steaming mounds of dark compost that almost reach the ceiling. It's muggy and hot, about 130 degrees.
So this is our finished compost that you're looking at right here, this large pile, and that large pile over there as well.
Smith's a facilities supervisor for ADI, the company running the composting plant. The facility handles 30,000 tons every year. And with all that, you'd think Prince Edward Islanders would say, job done, right? But they're trying to reduce landfill waste even more. They want businesses to start using packaging that can be composted or recycled. Many local businesses have switched. But there's a problem. Big multinational chain stores bring goods to Prince Edward Island in packaging that cannot be recycled or composted. It all ends up in the island's landfill. Jerry Moore knows his province is too small to really influence these companies. So that's where he hopes other communities will help out and join in.
There will be initial pain with that in the front end, and a lot of politicians and public figures don't want to go through that pain. But, you know, we only have one Earth, and whether you're from New York or Prince Edward Island or all over the globe, anything that we can remanufacture and reuse is only going to extend the life of the planet.
And Prince Edward Island officials think if they can do it, other places can too, if they have the political will. For the Environment Report, I'm Kinna Oman.
In the forecast for the region, sunny skies today, the high 76, mostly sunny tomorrow, the high 79. Tomorrow night, clear skies, the low 55, mostly sunny on Saturday, the high around 80. Mostly clear Saturday evening, the low 57, mostly sunny Sunday, with a high around 80. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, WILL.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.